listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you will have it forever, real and eternal. We must be coming close. Gospel by gospel, week by week, step by step, our texts seem to be leading us, or more like pulling us along this path. Maybe another way of describing it is that each week of Lent, our stories have been like the beating of a big kettle drum. Boom, boom, boom. But in these past few weeks, it's as if this pace has picked up, and now the beat is boom, boom, boom. And Jesus in our stories knows this. A couple of weeks ago, the tables overturned in the temple. Last week, the light and the darkness. And this week, the entry of the Greeks. The entry of the Greeks, you may ask. Who saw that coming? Well, in John's gospel, so particular in its approach, it is the arrival of these Greeks. Were they Hellenistic Jews, Gentile seekers? But it is the arrival of these Greeks that sets into course the actions that have been just under the surface of every scene for these last few weeks. For it is with the arrival of the Greeks and their wish to see Jesus. Remember, that is a theme that is consistent throughout John's gospel, this wish to see Jesus. That when they arrive, the stage has been set, that the world is now drawing near, and the ultimate events are at hand. And so the time is now. The hour has come, and Jesus offers Philip and Andrew, his disciples, us, anyone with ears to listen, these enigmatic statements about what is to take place for Jesus and for all the world. Now, these texts are incredibly rich. And so what I would like to do this morning is focus on this first statement, this quasi-parable that is particularly compelling. Once again, John chapter 12, verses 24 and 25, as Eugene Peterson interprets in The Message. Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you will have it forever, real and eternal. Buried in the ground, dead to the world, covered in darkness, searching for the way up. Has anyone else been there before? Are there people who are there perhaps now? For my friend Sarah, it was about just this time of year, 18 years ago. She was in her apartment in Sacramento working on her homework, the afternoon light streaming in from the bay windows. She had finished her bachelor's degree a few years earlier and was working on her prerequisites for nursing school. Applications had been filled out and sent in for graduate schools, and she was in that waiting space. You know, that waiting space where you check the mail every day, several times. time today for the envelopes to come. She had applied to a couple of programs, but really was waiting for one large envelope bearing the seal of the University of California, San Francisco. After several years of volunteering and working at Planned Parenthood in low-income neighborhoods in San Diego, Sarah had applied to UCSF's entry-level master's nurse practitioner program. You see, her plan was to become an RN and receive her nurse practitioner's license as well, because after what she had seen at Planned Parenthood, well, that was what she wanted to do. She wanted to serve a population that did not have access to reproductive health care. Become a nurse practitioner, providing some basic health care that women could not afford to receive otherwise. And so she had applied to UCSF, one of these top programs, intending to use her gifts to match this much-needed need. Except that the wrong envelope arrived in the mail. It wasn't the big one, you know, the 8.5 by 11 envelope with the glossy folders and the letter of congratulations and the opportunity to put your initial educational deposit down in the mail. No, it was the standard letter size envelope, the one that had thanked her for applying and wished her well. She was stunned. Just a few years earlier, she had been accepted at all the UCs that she'd applied to. Her grades were stellar. She had such experience. It was so clear. She had felt so totally in control of her destiny. And up to that point, had this vision about what she was going to do, who she was going to be. Now it was over, finished, evaporated by one small, thin envelope. Now, those who have been in a place like this, or somewhere close to it, might be able to mumble the questions alongside. Questions like, am I the person that I thought I was? Am I competent? They don't think that I'm able or capable of doing this, but this is what I have been planning on doing for years. I put my heart and soul into this. This is who I am. How can this be? Anyone who is planted from seed knows the act of trust that it takes to place a seed down into the deep, dark earth. Right? This has even more profound truth for subsistence farmers. For those seeds of grain, they could still be ground into flour, baked into bread to feed hungry bodies. But instead, we take these grains that can feed a few of us, and we bury them, entomb them in the soil, hoping, trusting, waiting that they will be released to feed many. Now, this would all be fine, I suppose, if it didn't involve this intermediate and really terrifying step of burial. For no one wishes to go down into the dark. Biblical scholar James Ernest reminds us of an essential truth when he writes that this concise parable will remind those who read the fourfold gospel of synoptic parables involving seeds and growth and fruit. But here the decisive point is that death must precede life. Death must precede life. And so it is with this parable of the crucifixion. And so it is with the life of discipleship. And so it is with the incarnation itself. For the dwelling of the infinite as a finite being demands death into life. As hard as it is for us to absorb, to accept, it is like the silence of Holy Saturday. It is truth. But that truth is not the end of our story. It claims an essential element, but it is not the whole. For Sarah, the death of this plan, of this expected path of who she was to be, this loss remained for days, weeks, a couple of months. She could not conceive of a way forward that was different from the one that she had been giving her life to. Again, those demanding words of Jesus. Anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. How often do we, when given this seed, keep it tightly in the grips of our hands? Even knowing, in the depth of our being, knowing that to do so is fruitless. Well, after a couple of months of losing sleep, Sarah made an appointment to meet with someone in the admissions office at UCSF. Surely they could explain why they made a decision like this. The admissions officer reviewed her application and said that Sarah would be a wonderful nurse practitioner in a clinic, but that the type of nurse practitioners that UCSF was interested in training have started their own clinics before arriving, are doing research, are going to be leaders in their field, have news articles written about them that mention that they went to UCSF, of course. UCSF was only interested in training nurses who will be in the vanguard of nursing care. Sarah realized in that moment that that kind of nurse practitioner wasn't her. She didn't have interest in being in the vanguard of nursing care. She wanted to serve those in need, providing training and presence when it was needed most. And from that place, she began to let go, trusting that by so doing, that something new was being released, was being allowed to rise. And in time, it did. That grain buried and allowed to die rose and has borne much fruit. And so, after receiving her master's and becoming an RN and serving now for 15 years as a nurse and 12 of them as a hospice nurse, Sarah has come to realize that this is exactly where she has been called. Her work with the dying and their loved ones, though not even on the horizon 18 years ago, is clearly where her gift meets a hunger of this world. Listen carefully, Jesus says. Once again, we find ourselves at this time of year at the pivot. Because behind us lay the days of Lent, ahead the path of Holy Week. And this gospel concentrates our attention as we prepare to live into the mystery of mysteries. As we take stock this day, what are the ways that we have experienced the fruit of the harvest and then held on tightly to this seed? What is it for you that is preventing you from letting it fall from your hands? Yes, to tumble and die in the dark soil, but also to rise again, bearing fruit. This week, as we approach with palms along the road to Jerusalem, take time. Take time to look well within. As you do, find a grain of wheat. Hold up a part of your life that is stagnant, unreconciled.